conference, and want to encourage you, if you can be here, the registration will open up at 5:30. From 5:30 to 6:30, there'll be registration here. If you want to come here a little early, please feel free to come, because we're expecting a lot of people to be coming through that will have not signed up yet. If you want to go, still can pre-register, by the way. And this conference is for singles as well. I want you to, as he made it clear, this is an awesome conference. If you are not married yet and you're, you know, thinking about getting married in the future, this is the excellent conference for you as well. So it's open to everybody. And I want to emphasize, too, if you can't, if for some reason one of the spouses is working on Friday or Saturday and only one of you can come, you can still come to this thing. You don't have to both be here for it. I want to encourage you, but if you're not able to, it's okay. Or if you can just come one night or one morning, that's fine as well. We also need help with volunteers for helping with folks with registering folks. We still need some volunteers to help with sales. We're going to have a sales thing over here with books and all kinds of stuff that they've given us. So please, if you can, come talk to Marty or Barbara or Teresa or myself, and we'll get you hooked in for this coming Friday and Saturday. If you can't come for both days, great. Just if you can come for one night, that'd be good too, to help. We're looking forward to it. And by the way, there's still some cards back there if you want to invite some folks this week to it. You will really enjoy it. You will see why I'm so high on this thing. Friday night, I guarantee you, 30 minutes into it, you're going to go, man, this is really good. You're going to really enjoy it. So looking forward to that time together. All right, let's start a company. All right, let's do it, guys. Come on. We got to have the right slogan, okay? We got to get that slogan that will draw people in, all right? So let me test you to see if you know these slogans. Are you ready? Say amen. You awake this morning? Say amen. Didn't hear everybody. Okay. All right, ready? Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Oh, man. Y'all are good. You're in good hands with? Man, you guys rock. It keeps going and going and going. How about that little bunny? He's a popular guy, ain't he? Here's one you might not know. Don't leave home without it. No? American Express. Now, this will show your age. Are you ready? To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, sesame, bun. Big Mac. Yeah, 1975, this was the most popular ad on television. Remember that one? Now, this one also was, this was the most popular ad in 1973. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Wow. Y'all doing good. All right, now that we know these slogans, what do you think would be the best slogan for following Jesus? Jesus says in Luke 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What's a good slogan? Come and die. That's not going to really draw them in, is it? Sounds more like a Halloween, you know, flick or something you'd watch on Halloween. Come and die. But actually, it's very appropriate. And it's exactly the perfect slogan to follow Jesus with. Today, I want us to hear read some very sobering passages. And the reason we're talking about this today is because in your groups, you're coming to a very pivotal point in the Not a Fan video that we've been watching for the last 3 weeks, or last month or so. He's going to really challenge you today. And he's going to use this text, and so I thought it would be good for us to talk about this and what it means to be a follower of Jesus and listening to his call afresh today to go from fan to follower. Let's pray as we begin today. Father, we invite you into our presence today, and we ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us and convict us, challenge us, help us listen to these words of Jesus afresh today. And Lord, help us not turn it into a legalistic set of rules and of regulations that we have to follow, but understand this, you're calling us to follow you out of a relationship. We ask, Father, today that, you know, that you will help us to be more than just fans, but as on this journey to be a follower, Lord, that you will help us realize all things are possible with you. Your Spirit can empower us to do great things for you. Help us, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a call to follow Jesus, and we're going to see that in just a minute. If you have your Bibles, be opening up to Luke chapter 9. We'll look at that in just a minute. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I was baptized. You know, I'm following Jesus. Not necessarily. There are many people that have been baptized into Christ, but they have no interest in following Jesus. They have no interest in going God's way. They have no interest. They want to do what they want with their life. They figure, well, you know, Christianity is nothing more than, you know, just coming to church on Sunday and keeping your nose clean like our rover friend right here. And, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what I do with my, I can do whatever I want with my life and God will bless me. There is so much more to Christianity than Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Amen? There is so much more to it. And I think for a lot of us, we've missed it. Following Jesus is not just, you know, one decision that I make, and I think we put a lot of emphasis on that, but it is a daily decision. It is a daily decision. We've emphasized, you know, grace and God's free gift of salvation, and, you know, we've emphasized it so much that we think, well, I got the gift, and I'm saved, and everything's, I don't have to do anything else. Man, you're just beginning it there. You're just beginning your relationship with God. Now, look in Luke 9, beginning in verse 23. Anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Listen to verse 24. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Now, I want you to notice verse 23 here. He says, if... Okay, that implies that there's a choice involved. If anyone, yeah, ex-con, drug addict, ex-drug addict, whatever, as a person is wanting to follow Christ, the invitation is to everyone to follow him. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must. Okay, there's no, you know, middle of the road thing here. You either do or you don't. He says he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want the greatest adventure that life can offer, does anybody here want that? Huh? Anybody here want the greatest adventure that life could possibly offer? Here's what you got to do. You got to first deny yourself. And this goes totally against our culture. It goes totally against our me generation that we live in today. Denying yourself does not mean, you know, I got to have low self-esteem and just, you know, think of myself as a worm. You know, there's that song, Tommy, that you sing where they changed, what is it? Such a worm as I. Yeah, well, great line there, buddy. We've changed that, of course. But it doesn't mean that. Denying yourself doesn't mean you're a human doormat for the world. Everybody could just step all over you and, you know... And it doesn't mean you have to go up to Upper Mongolia and live in a monastery, okay? That's not what it means to deny yourself. Human beings are generally selfish people, aren't we? We think of ourselves. So what does it mean to deny ourselves? It's to starve our selfish desires, our attitudes, and our ambitions. Contrary to what we believe, we're not the center of the universe. We're not the most important thing, although many of us think we are. We live in a self-absorbed culture. It's all about me, my needs, my desires, me, 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 me. There's no love if it's all about me. There's no opportunity for love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during World War II and wrote some very powerful books. One of them was The Cost of Discipleship. And this is the words he uses in this book. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and to die. To die to ourselves, to die to what we want. It's to say to Jesus, I am your slave and you are my master. You can do whatever you please. You are Lord. To deny yourself means simply to give the car keys to God daily and let him drive. Here's the car keys, Lord. You can drive. What can I do for you today? You know, that's so easy to say, but it is so difficult to do. Amen? But there's an interesting, you know, twist to all this. As we deny ourselves, we begin to find freedom. We begin to find purpose and meaning in our lives. It begins to start to make sense when we take the focus off self and our selfish desires and we start looking at other people and their needs and their problems. I mean, who's had a more meaningful life, Donald Trump or Mother Teresa? That's an easy one. There are people in this church, you know what I'm talking about. You are the silent servants here. There's a lot of good stuff going on in this congregation. Wonderful people, wonderful servants of the Lord. You do it silently. You put others before you put yourself. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about deny yourself. Deny yourself. We need to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You've heard that acronym before, or whatever it's called, joy. And it's true. It does give me joy. Okay, so we've said no to our selfish. Now, what do we do next? We take up our cross daily. Notice what Jesus says in verse 23 again of Luke 9. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. It's a daily thing. Taking up your cross does not mean dealing with a difficult situation. You know, a really mean boss or, you know, a difficult live-in situation. That's not what it means to take up your cross. That's not how the early disciples would have understood it. They would have said, they would have heard, be willing to die for me if that's what it takes. Jesus was calling his disciples and he's calling us to the highest form of commitment we can give. It's a call to total surrender and complete commitment. It's to say to God, no matter what, I'm going to obey. Even if there's a bunch of dogs looking at me, I'm still going to obey. There's obedience in this picture both ways. You see the cat and all those German shepherds? The German shepherds are learning to say, to stay put and not to attack. The cat's obeying by having enough courage to walk in front of all those dogs. So you get the idea. Now, what does it mean to practically take up your cross daily? We are bombarded with hundreds of choices every single day. Either to say yes or no to God. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we are bombarded with questions. We are bombarded with choices. Will we set the alarm a little earlier so we can spend time with God? Will we take our lunch break and maybe talk to a friend about their problems? Will we, you know, at nighttime, maybe you're a night owl and you enjoy spending time with the Lord at night. Do we take that time to be with God? Will I consume my life with texting and the phone? Will I be on the internet? Is my life consumed with television? Will I listen to some juicy gossip about someone? When I take up my cross, I am willing to put those aside for a period of time. Gossip you should put away permanently. But the point is, we should be willing to give those things up. And the question I wrestle with is, you know, am I really carrying a cross or if there's no suffering or sacrifice involved. When was the last time following Jesus cost you anything? It cost you a promotion. It cost you a friendship. It cost you a relationship. It cost you your friends at school. It will cost you something. Is the cross I'm carrying a posturpedic cross? Am I looking for the easy way out? You know? Our culture worships comfort. We want to be comfortable. We will go to great lengths to make ourselves comfortable, but I think in our Christian faith, a lot of us have done the same thing. We have tried to make a posturpedic cross out of this whole thing and say, I want the easy way out. I'll show up on Sunday, I'll punch my card, and that's it for the week. That's a fan. That's not a follower. We need to remember something. Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. He has done that, the very same thing. The good news is the Holy Spirit can give us that power, that strength to put to death our selfish desires. So if I'm denying myself and I'm taking up my cross daily, then I am following Jesus. And only then am I following Jesus. Follow him where? Where are you going, Lord? Where's the Lord going? Someone once asked Mother Teresa why she chose India to be her place of work. And she made an interesting statement. She said, I'm just following Jesus, and this is where he's led me. That's a powerful thought. The issue is, do we trust God or not? See, that's the issue, the crux of the matter. Do I trust God? Do I trust God with my life? Am I willing to surrender everything to him and say, Lord, you can have your way. You do what you want with my life. I surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do. When it all comes down, what separates a fan from a follower is a willingness to completely surrender their life to Jesus completely. And you just can't get around that text. That's what it says. And that's the challenge for us, to give up control. Surrender is not natural for us. It's natural for us to focus on us. When we seek to follow Jesus, look what happens in verse 24. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. When we seek to control our own lives, focusing only on me, playing it safe, we may save our lives, but we don't really live. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, Chris, you didn't live. Don't you want to get to the finish line and say, I gave it all. I gave it everything. And I followed him, and it led me to some strange places, and it led me to some unusual things, but my life has been fulfilled, and it's given me meaning, and it's given me purpose. Many people end up at the end of their lives, and they realize they have wasted it. They have lived their entire lives for themselves. Don't waste your life living for just you. God created us for so much more than that. When we surrender our lives, when we surrender it, we'll say, you know, I'll go wherever and do whatever you want me to be, Lord. We will lose our lives, but we will discover that it's the best plan. God does know what's best for our lives. He has the best plan. So maybe if you're thinking about a decision lately, and I bet some people in this room today, you are wrestling with a decision right now, whether to leave your job or not, maybe to go into a different career field that will help you glorify God more, or maybe it will be using your gifts. I don't know what you come into this room today. I'm here to tell you today, surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And don't be afraid to step out in faith. We have all these questions, you know, what if I got my house, I got to sell my house. Step out in faith. and trust Him with your life. I promise you, He will answer that prayer. Look at verse 25. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their soul or their very self? These are these folks that want to save their lives. How much is your soul worth? It is worth more than the entire world. That's how precious your soul is. What does the world offer you? Absolutely nothing. Granted, we have to make a living, we have to have jobs. Yes, that's a given. We all have to do that. But my point is, if we look to our jobs, if we look to the spouse, if we look to the family to find meaning and purpose, we will ultimately be disappointed in the end. Why? Because people die. Divorce happens. Bankruptcy happens. Those kind of things. My spouse, your spouse, cannot give you ultimate meaning in life. We know that. Only God can give us our purpose and our meaning for our lives. And you know, we cannot find our significance in things. It just is not going to happen. It's only going to happen in Jesus and finding that ultimate purpose of following Him in our lives. Listen, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, either I am totally committed, 100%, or I'm totally lost. Some of you here are thinking also, well, doggone it, I just got to try harder. That wakes some of you up. I got to try harder, right? No. You've missed the entire point if you think it's all about, you know, I got to try harder. I got to get out my legalistic rule book and check. That's not the point here today. When you have problems in your marriage, you don't throw your marriage out because there's one problem in it. You work through it. You struggle with it. You work through the issues. You recommit to your mate. It is no different with God in our relationship. Some of us think we have to have this perfect relationship. We are not perfect. I am struggling immensely in my walk with God. I am. I struggle with this deny self stuff. And I was reminded this past weekend just how selfish I am as a human being. Is that a stupid thing? We are all on this journey together, and you have to understand, it's not about perfection. It is about where your heart is and if you're even on the journey to start with. It is no different than it is in a marriage relationship. You work through it. You work through your problems. With God, it is the same thing. You will have days, you will have years you feel like you're walking through a desert. You're not close to God. You don't feel like God's around. But you keep going because you know that He is there. That's my point today. God is so patient with us, isn't He? What I'm asking you to do today is ask yourself, where am I right now in my relationship with God? What are some distractions I have? What's keeping me from a closer relationship with Him? We follow Jesus out of love, not legalism, okay? God is so patient with us and our struggles and our distractions. You know, every minister and missionary, if they're completely honest with you, will tell you that they have treated God more like an employer than they have a father. And that's just being honest. I'll be honest for all of them. That's what they're all struggling with. I was down at a missionary conference in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and with 50 other guys, and one of the guys asked the guy that was leading the event, he said, what is your number one problem? Every missionary said, I struggle with having a daily relationship with God and staying focused on that. Because I'm distracted, I'm struggling. I realized lately that, you know, it's time to turn off the TV, it's time to turn off the internet for a while, and it's time to get refocused again on what matters and what the priorities are. We live in a world full of distractions. The solution is not to try harder. The solution is to ask God to change my heart, because quite frankly, it is unnatural for us. It is unnatural to love God. We struggle with it. We're distracted by it. Our selfish natures are distracted by it. You know, it's time to be honest with God and say, God, you know, you're not the most important thing in my life, and I'm sorry. I'm really struggling here, and I need you. I need your help. I'm really distracted, Lord. I've got all these things on my mind. God will answer a prayer like that. He will. And I think God enjoys it when we are honest with Him and real and say, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling, Lord. It takes time and commitment, and when we fail, it's time to keep on seeking God. We don't, just because you fail and you struggle with sin doesn't mean you should give up on your relationship with God. Our responsibility is to die daily, is to find, Lord, what can I do for you today? I am available. Help me serve someone today. Help me love someone at my work. Help me love someone at school that needs love. That's denying self. So here's something I'd like for us to all, I'd just like to make this suggestion for this week. As you go about your week this week, I want you to practice denying yourself. And this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to fast. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about fasting from food, okay? You can fast. Fasting is, there's lots of things that are involved in fasting. It doesn't have to be food or anything. It can be fasting from music. Anything that distracts you, television, internet, you know. And if you ask God in prayer, say, Lord, what is distracting me? God will answer that prayer. Guaranteed, He will answer that prayer. Let's commit just for the next 7 days. Just for the next 7 days. Whatever we give up, let's replace it with spending time with the Lord. So here are some suggestions, okay? You may not be struggling with this, but this is something, just a suggestion. You may stop listening to secular music so you can focus more on prayer. Okay? You may stop watching movies so your mind isn't so polluted with worldliness. Okay? Maybe you want to decide, you know, no TV, no internet, no video games, so I can focus on reading Scripture this week. You might consider getting off Facebook for a while so you can spend time with God. Facebook is very addicting, and I can testify to that. Maybe you can give up your, you know, texting or spending an enormous amount of time on the phone. I've been amazed since we've gotten back from Brazil how texting is just it's the deal. I mean, it's everything. Everyone is so focused. Everybody's like this, walking around. I told Teresa the first thing I noticed in the airport in the States was, what's everybody looking down for? Everybody's like, they'd be in line at Starbucks, you know? Everybody is so focused on that. Maybe you could give up your lunch break sometime this week. Devote it to reading Scripture. Devote it to spending time with God. By doing this, you will be denying yourself. And you will begin to understand what Jesus meant when He said to follow Me. And by the way, we need to take Jesus' command seriously when we fast, not to go out and tell everybody that we're fasting. Okay? David Nasser wrote a powerful book. It's a 40-day devotional geared towards young adults. It's also for older adults. I have enjoyed it immensely. It's called To Die. It's an awesome, incredible, I mean, the first week will absolutely blow your mind. It's very challenging, but very good. As we close today, I want you to think about something. Whoops. Listen to these words afresh from Luke 14 as we close. I want you to notice something about Jesus. Jesus does not go running after people, begging them to follow Him. And as you're going to hear in your video today, the preacher there talks a little bit about how he's been guilty in the past, and probably most preachers are, of trying to make the gospel very attractive so that people will come and follow Jesus. And I confess today in front of you all that I'm sorry for selling the gospel short or ever making it cheap as if I'm trying to sell something. I'm not trying to sell anything. But often in our zeal to try to get people, we try to make it very attractive when Jesus didn't.
Listen to these words in Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple."
Hate? What is he talking about? He's talking about loving less. He's talking about having such a devotion to Jesus that everything is hatred in comparison. Not literally hate your family. He's saying, put your family second. Put me first in your life. He says in verse 27, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Gee, you know, that's just not very seeker sensitive. He says, and he gives two parables for us to consider the cost of following him. He says in verse 28, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go against war and another king. Won't he be able to first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Wow. I was in Tanzania one time. We were at a preaching point, and we read this text. And I'll never forget this guy in the back. He heard it. He heard it. He said, "Give up everything? What? Who is this guy?" He got really upset asking, who is he? Heard it. And most people don't hear it. It just goes in one ear and out the other. But it's a call for us to put him first in our lives. And here's a great way to illustrate it, and then we will have a prayer in a minute. I want you to imagine you're at your wedding day, okay? And your spouse looks at you and says, "I commit to you forever, till death do me part, but I still want to see other people." How many here would commit to somebody like that? No one's going to commit to anybody like that. But we expect Jesus to do the very same thing. We say, "We're going to follow you, but I don't want you to control my life. Don't tell me what to do with my life." We still want to see other people. We need to seriously consider the cost of following Jesus. He ain't going to share you with anyone else, okay? I love that picture. That little girl's expression is just priceless. Even at that age, we understand what commitment means. And so does Jesus. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray, and you don't have to pray after me, but you can if you like. I need prayer right now. I don't know about you, but I need to say, "Lord, I'm glad today is a new day, and I can commit myself to you afresh this day, because I'm a big sinner, and you're a great Savior." Let's pray. Repeat after me if you like. "Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my selfishness. It's so hard to deny myself, but I want to be your follower more than anything else. I have allowed many things to get in the way of our relationship, and I'm sorry. Help me identify those things that distract me most from following you. Change my heart, Lord. I want to love you more than anything else on earth. I need your Holy Spirit to help me love you with all my heart. I ask you to fill me even more this day with your Spirit. I will go wherever, do whatever, and be whatever you want me to be. In Jesus' name." And the whole church said, "Amen."
I love these words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, the beautiful thing about following Jesus is he calls you for a commitment, but he also empowers you to do it through his Holy Spirit. True story of Papua New Guinea. There was many years ago, there was missionaries there teaching, and this tribal king, if you will, the chief of this area, I mean, thousands of people, he was a very powerful man. He said, I will follow your Jesus. And the missionary said, why? He said, because your Jesus empowers me. All the other gods don't help me, but your Jesus does. And I want to follow him. Today, if you're ready to follow Jesus Christ, I want to ask you real simply that the Bible makes it very simple. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I can't save myself, I'm ready to change my ways, and I'm ready to go God's way, I'm ready to commit my life to him. Baptism is where we begin your walk with Jesus, and we can baptize you today. You can leave this place clean in the Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe today you're struggling. Maybe you have been baptized, but you've been struggling with some things in your life, or maybe you just want to let us know about a prayer or something that's on your heart. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?